Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And we didn't have a show last week, but we're back this week. Glad to be back. And wow, what a weekend it was for sports and spring football, of course, both the XFL and USFL. But let's start with the XFL. I'm sure all of you out there who are following the XFL believe in the Arlington Renegades, correct? Well, I confess, I didn't necessarily think they'd win. I thought they'd give them a good game because of the improved play at quarterback they've had in the past month. Did not think they'd outright win and score 35 points. So congratulations to the Arlington Renegades. They are the XFL champions. Congratulations to the XFL completing the season, their first championship game since 2001. And if you call in right now, the next 5 minutes, tell us who the XFL champion was in 2001 and the winning quarterback. If you can call in, our number is 563-999-3409. So the Renegades managed to win the XFL championship after a 4-6 record, regular season record. They traded for Luis Perez, I believe it was after week 7 and week 8 of the regular season. I do remember when that happened. I thought it'd be a good trade for them. Believed that it would help improve their offense and give them a pretty good chance at making the playoffs, at least. Did not know they would necessarily, I don't know who would have known this, but that would propel them to the championship when you think about the teams they would be facing. But the Renegades won 35-26. They scored 35 points. And here are some numbers for Perez. Let's backtrack a bit. But the Renegades averaged, I believe, only 14.6 points a game in the regular season. I think they flashed that during the game on Saturday. And from what I remember, they scored only like 14 or 15 touchdowns in the regular season. And I think that includes defensive touchdowns, which they had, I think, 2 or 3 of them. So they weren't even averaging 2 touchdowns a game in the regular season. What they did have, though, was they had a solid defense. Another stat they showed during the game the other night was they, I did not know this, but they led the league in forcing turnovers. And, of course, they also had a pretty solid players on offense in terms of their receivers and running backs. They just didn't have the quarterback. So the defense and the running game, for the most part, ball control, kept them in contention for most of the season. But here are some of Perez's stats going back to his first game. In his first game with the Renegades, he was 16-25, 190 yards, down to interception 0-0. They defeated Orlando 18-16. That was actually their last regular season win on the year. They were sitting at 4-4. The next game against D.C., this is really when he had his breakout game. He went 31-41, 335 yards, one touchdown and an interception. But the Renegades put up 434 total yards in this game against D.C. They were also trailing by 17. They came back from 17 down almost to win the game. They ended up tying it in regulation. I don't know if you remember, but the Renegades had a chance to win the final 10 seconds. I think they were down on the D.C. 10 or around there. And Stoops decided to kick a field goal. They kicked it, tied it. Game went into overtime, which is pretty much a 50-50 proposition at that point. So they ended up losing in overtime. They dropped to 4-5. The final regular season finale against Houston, Perez played okay, but the offense overall looked very sloppy and not very organized. 22 of 36 overall, 205 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception, and only 245 total yards. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, obviously they're not going to last too long in the playoffs with an offense like that. But they turned it around within 1 week in the South Division Championship game or semifinal against Houston, the Roughnecks, the following week. Luis Perez went 19 of 27, 289 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions. Renegades put up 419 total yards. This past week, 26 of 36, 288 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, 396 total yards for the offense. And in both playoff games, the Renegades got out to a big lead, 15-0 against the Roughnecks, forced them to play from behind. And in the XFL Championship, 17-0 lead against the Defenders. And the problems that both the Roughnecks and Defenders had is that they are mainly running teams, or at least the Roughnecks were with Silvers was not starting a quarterback. They had Cole McDonald. But McDonald's mostly a runner, not a passer. So but when the Renegades got on top of the Roughnecks and Defenders early, their quarterbacks were not – necessarily known for being passers, would force them to get out of their usual running game and force them to pass. And with the Renegades' stout offense up the middle and just good defense, good passing defense overall, it gave the Renegades an early advantage and forced the other team to play from behind most of the game and continue to score throughout the game, continue to pour it on in both games, and voila, they're XFL champions. So, special congratulations to Luis Perez. He is the, I guess you could say he's the king of spring football, the king of spring. And we discussed his background on here in previous shows, but just to review, 2019 in the Alliance of American Football, battling some allergies here. He led the Birmingham Iron to a playoff berth after 8 games. The season was when the league went under right after that. So if there were playoffs, they would have been in it. But he did lead them to a playoff berth. If there had been playoffs, they would have ended up playing the Orlando Apollos, who were 7-1 at the time and coached by Steve Spurrier. The following year, he was with the XFL, with the New York Guardians. New York was 3-2. I believe he only made 2 starts for them that game, but they were 3-2 at midseason. Again, when the XFL 2.0 went under because of the pandemic. 2021, he led the Jousters, the Southern champion, to the Mega Bowl, which was a Spring League championship game. He led the Jousters to a late touchdown in the fourth quarter. Excuse me, that would have won the championship. However, the Jousters defense gave up a late touchdown and they lost. 2022, he led the New Jersey Generals to the playoffs. He started split time with DeAndre Johnson at quarterback. Generals finished 9-1. They won their last 9 regular season games, but lost in the semifinals to the Stars. This season, he started with the Vegas Vipers. Vegas finished at 2-8. The Vipers going nowhere traded Perez to the Renegades. The Renegades appeared to be going nowhere without a quarterback. And Perez came in and filled that role for them. He had previous playoff and championship experience. And he led the Renegades to the championship. So congratulations to him. And also congratulations to Big Game Bob Stoops. Of course, if you follow college football, you know that Stoops was one of the top coaches in major college football, leading the Sooners for, I believe, 7 or 18 years. And the title Big Game Bob kind of has a double meaning because he was in several big games, I believe 8 Big 12 championship games overall, winning 7 of them, 4 BCS championship games, which was prior to the college football playoff, he was in 4, won 1 of them in 2000. It was in several other bowl games, rivalry games, and so forth. But he struggled in the championship game. So his critics referred to him as that, and his followers referred to him as that because he was in, like I said, many big games with the Sooners in an 18-year period. Interesting backstory. I actually met Coach Stoops 4 years ago at an event when I was visiting in Texas, and he mentioned that he would be coaching against 2 of his former teammates who were with the St. Louis Battlehawks at the time, Jonathan Hayes and Chuck Long. Chuck Long was the quarterback for Iowa. He was a Heisman finalist in 1985. I do remember him. Anyways, both Hayes and Long were with the Battlehawks in 2020 as the offensive coaching staff, and their quarterback was Jordan Te'amu. And I remember Stoops talking about how he was really looking forward to coaching against 2 of his old buddies, his old teammates. Well, this year, when the XFL restarted, Hayes and Long were both on Stoops' staff with the Renegades. So just some interesting background there. But once again, congratulations to the Renegades, Coach Stoops, Luis Perez, and the XFL overall. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will talk USFL. And the USFL is at midseason. And the Renegades have shown that you're never truly out of it. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Feeling a little bit out of it today with sinus issues, but we'll press ahead. Anyways, just to wrap up, now I know that the Battlehawks fans are bitterly disappointed because of the playoff format, and they were not able to qualify despite having their record 3 games better than the Renegades, and I totally understand that. That's happened in the NFL seasons before. However, at first I agreed with the Battlehawks fans and thought they should change the playoff format and have the top 4 teams qualify. But if you think about it, had they done that, the Battlehawks and Seattle would have already clinched the playoffs probably by week 9, maybe even week 8, after week 8. So you would have had all 4 teams already in the playoffs at the time, and the other 4 teams would have been out of it. What you had with the way the playoff format works, top 2 teams in each division. So instead of 4 teams already qualified, you had 6 teams with a theoretical chance at the playoffs up until week 10. And 5 teams with a chance until the last game of the season. Because you remember the Seattle, I think it was the Seattle Vipers game? Seattle had to score so many points. Had Seattle already qualified, and St. Louis, and I'm just giving you a perspective from a league perspective, not from a fan perspective, like a Battlehawks fan or Sea Dragons, your team would have already been in it. You would have probably rested all their players. And the games wouldn't have meant much. The ratings wouldn't have been very good. But as it turned out, they had ratings because in the Battlehawks finale and the Sea Dragons finale, people watched that because they wanted to know if their team would make the playoffs. So I think I've changed my mind about playoff format. I would, as the purest in me thinks, it should be top 4 teams, but from a league perspective, I think it needs to stay this way because it gives more teams a chance further into the season. And as you can see with the USFL, it's the same thing. You have right now in the South, well, let's go over the standings. In the South, New Orleans lost their first game. They're 4-1. Houston and Birmingham are currently tied at 3-2, and Memphis is 2-3. In the North, you have a four-way tie at 2-3. So Pittsburgh, Michigan, New Jersey, Philadelphia, all at 2-3. So two of those teams are making the playoffs. We don't know which ones yet. We're at midseason. But all eight teams in the USFL, not only do you have a theoretical chance of making the playoffs and winning the championship, you've already seen it happen this year with the Renegades. So the Renegades were 4-6, struggled for most of the year, around 500, right below 500. And then they put it in turbo near the end. If you're a fan of any of these teams, you're never really out of it until you're out of it. Like Yogi Berra would say, it ain't over till it's over, and it ain't over. All eight teams have a chance at making the playoffs right now. In the South, you have three teams over 500, just like in the XFL, you had three teams over 500 in the North. But that doesn't guarantee you anything. There's only two teams make it. So regardless of how good your record is, if you're the number three seed team in that division, you're out. And no matter how bad your record is in the North, USFL North, you're in if you're one of the top two seeds. So I think that's good. I think that's good for the sport. I think it can help create more fan interest. If you're a fan of Memphis or any of the North teams, you can't sit here and say, oh, we're out of it. It's over. The season's over. I'm not going to watch the rest of the games. No, you're not out of it. Probably this is going to go down to the last week of the season. So once again, good for ratings, good for the league. We're going to go over the finals from this past weekend, and quite honestly, it was a little surprising. Pittsburgh defeated the Michigan Panthers 23-7 in the early Saturday game. It was a bit surprising. I thought Michigan would rebound. They were at home. They only scored 7 points. Pittsburgh, who is not been too strong since the league returned last year. But I will say they're vastly improved under Ray Horton this year. They have a lot more fight in them. Their offense looks tremendously better. Of course, can't get much worse than they were last year. But overall, Horton's done a good job there, really improving the team. They're sitting at 2-3, and they've already won more games than they did last year. I believe they were 1-9. Michigan, on the other hand, they're quarterbacking. I don't know, they looked a little inconsistent. I noticed they tried a lot of the deep balls on Saturday, and I would say at least 6 or 7 deep passes, and none of them were complete. So maybe it's just a matter of getting in practice time. And they had two different quarterbacks in, and both tried it, and they just couldn't hit on a big pass on a deep ball there. So the second game, this was also a surprise. The Houston Gamblers, a mild surprise, won their third straight game to defeat the Stallions 27-20 in Birmingham. And I got to say, after the first game this year, I didn't think the Gamblers were going to go anywhere. They looked worse than they did last year, but they've been an offensive machine the past 4 weeks, scoring, 24 points, 30 points, 41 points, 27 points. They didn't put up a lot of yards against Birmingham, but they won the game. Scored 4 touchdowns. Birmingham, I think the injuries are starting to catch up with them a little bit. Not having Scarborough and Jamar Smith, although Magoo's doing a great job. He does lead the league in passing touchdowns with 10. But it's possible the injuries are taking their toll on them, and they're not going to run away with the South this year. At least not yet. In the third game yesterday, Philadelphia Stars bounced back with a 24-21 win over New Jersey. And Louis Aguilar, He had 8 field goals. He was 8 out of 8. So all they kicked were field goals in this game. The Generals have got to be kicking themselves, literally, because they outgained the Stars 354 yards to 166, but had 4 turnovers. 4 turnovers, and they didn't give up a touchdown, and they lost. They pretty much did everything wrong in that game that you could do and lost the game, even after outplaying the Stars. So both teams are at 2-3. And then also Pittsburgh and Michigan are also at 2-3. Now in the fourth game this weekend, now Memphis, they won their second straight game, defeating the previously undefeated New Orleans Breakers 17-10 in an upset. McLeod Bethel Thompson did not have a great game. He was only 25 of 35 for 206 yards, touchdown and interception. So obviously he was completing passes, but nothing deep. He had no receiver near 100 yards receiving. Also, the running game disappeared. Wes Hills was only had 14 carries on 38 yards and no touchdowns. However, Bethel Thompson, he still leads the USFL in passing yards with 1322, and Wes Hild leads the league in rushing yards with 427. Some other stat leaders here. Houston Gamblers, Thompson fell with 8 rushing touchdowns. Justin Hall, also with the Gamblers, 4 receiving touchdowns. So the Gamblers have some really good players on offense, scoring points. And in sacks, former Kansas City Chiefs draft pick, I think he was the number one draft pick for the Chiefs back in, I think it was 2018, leads the USFL in sacks with 6.5. And I think he had 3 the other day. Let's check on that. It looked like he was all over the field against Pittsburgh. Despite the Panthers' offense not moving the ball. But unfortunately, the Panthers had 4 turnovers in the game, 2 fumbles lost, and 2 interceptions. In terms of total yards, not very good either. The Maulers had 299, Michigan only 152. There are 2 quarterbacks, Strong and Love. Neither one had over 100 yards. Strong, 13 of 23 for 94 yards. Love, 8 of 12 for 68 yards. So he had a touchdown. Both QBs had an interception. And let's see. Sage Surratt is the receiving leader right now in the league with 387 receiving yards. He was pretty much shut down the other day, too, by Memphis, holding him under 100 receiving yards. So here we go. Breland Speaks for Michigan, 6.5 receiving yards thus far. Well, Michigan also has the league leader in all-purpose yards, Reggie Corbin, with 650. I think the overall interpretation of this season, at least at midseason, is that no team is running away with it. Last year, the USFL had 2 9-1 teams. They ended up 9-1. So neither the South nor North were ever a true pennant race. Now you have all 4 teams in the South separated by 2 games, and all 4 teams in the North with the same record. So before we go, we'll preview the schedule for this week, week 6. It's another crossover, meaning South versus North again. So this Saturday, 11:30 Central in the first game, Pittsburgh is on the road against Memphis. That will be on USA. Second game Saturday at 3 o'clock Central. Birmingham looks to try to bounce back, and they are on the road at Michigan. And if you remember, they did struggle a few weeks ago at against Pittsburgh when they were in Canton. So they've got to get their they got to get going again. They're behind New Orleans now and tied with Houston. Then on Sunday, May 21, first game, 11 o'clock Central. On that Birmingham-Michigan game is on Fox, by the way. Then okay, Sunday's game, 11 a.m. Central, New Orleans. They're on the road against the Stars and at Ford Field. That'll be on FS1. And then your weekend finale looks like this will be a good one. New Jersey will be in Memphis to face the Gamblers. That will be 3 o'clock Central on Fox. Once again, whoever you're a fan of, your team is in the race right now. Don't be discouraged. Remember the Renegades? They were 4-6, and they won the championship. And the trivia answer is Tommy Maddox, LA Extreme. He's the quarterback, and the LA Extreme won the XFL championship in 2001. No one ever gets that. Okay. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.